Hi, welcome to the show, Be Convinced, where I share life-changing stories of hope with you so you can get a big dose of hope in just 30 minutes. I'm your host, Soraya Diassi-Kofelt. I'm an Ivy League educated lawyer, former judge, small business owner, children's author, and above all, mother, who's passionate about helping to improve lives and convincing you that there is indeed hope for a better future for ourselves and our children. I'll be sharing another life-changing story of hope told by ordinary people just like you and me. To me, hope is confidently expecting something good, and my guest will share her story today. This is episode number 18. My guest is Amber Johnston, who established a dynamic website, heritagemom.com, after realizing that what information she was gathering and writing about to help educate her children would have a beneficial impact on other families and children. She's an African-American mom who began a journey, as she wrote, because for Black children, raising them requires a particular level of steadfast dedication to fiercely educating, protecting, and preparing them for what lies ahead. Those are her words. I'm so impressed with her passion and dedication, and I'm certain that you will be as well. Please stay tuned. Did you know that the 4th of July holiday is not just about fireworks and picnics? My children's book is titled, It's Not About You, Mrs. Firecracker, a love letter about the true meaning of the 4th of July. I wrote about the history of how our country, the United States of America, started off with just 13 small colonies and were owned and controlled by the country of Great Britain. Great Britain started taxing the colonists more and more. People got very angry and started to speak up and protest against these high taxes. Soon there was a war between the colonists and Great Britain known as the Revolutionary War, or the War for Independence. I wrote about George Washington, who was the great general who led the American army. I also wrote about how American Revolutionary War heroes included African Americans, women, and even children. Did you know that? My book is a wonderful teaching tool for children 4 to 8 years old and is filled with colorful illustrations and lots of humor because we know children love to laugh. All proceeds from book sales go to the nonprofit foundation as the Stars of the Sky Foundation, which is dedicated to promoting literacy. Please visit the website as thestarsofthesky.org to purchase this and any of my other children's books. And remember, the best children's gifts are books. Thank you. Hi, this is Soraya, and thank you again for joining us on another episode of Be Convinced, sharing life-changing stories of hope. And today, my guest is Amber Johnston, of course, and I always like to start off the podcast with a quote. And the quote today is from Aristotle. It is, "Educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all." And Amber, you really epitomize that to me because you're passionate about educating the mind and educating the heart of children. And that is just so fantastic for me. You have a dynamic website, heritagemom.com, and you post about and write about many different topics involving family and children. Let's start off with you telling the listening audience about yourself.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me. I am a homeschooling mom of 4 kiddos. My husband, Scott, and I have 9 and 11-year-old girls, and we have 5 and 7-year-old boys. We live a little bit outside of Atlanta. We're both from the Midwest, but we're raising our children in Georgia. And we've both been around here for over 10 years. So this is home now.
Yes. Tell us why you established a website and then began writing about what you're doing to teach your children.
Well, I started the website because I had done a lot of work in my home to create a very culturally rich and diverse atmosphere for raising my children and for educating them. But before I did that, I struggled mightily. And I decided, wow, why should I keep this to myself? I should share with other families what I've already found because it'll make it so much easier for other people. So that's kind of the idea behind it.
And you're African American, your family's African American. And the tagline on your website, again, it's heritagemom.com, is, and I love this, raising Black kids to love themselves and others. And tell us, why is that so important?
Well, I feel that in a lot of cases, there hasn't been a lot of representation where Black children can see themselves in their books and movies and posters and toys and games. And that has become something that's very important to me. But when I started thinking about why that's important to me, I immediately came to the point, it's not just so my children can be in love with themselves. There's no positive end to that. But it's really so that they can feel rooted in who they are, in order to spread their branches and love on the people in our community and across our world. And so that really gave me purpose in what I was doing, and that it was bigger than just my family, and that I wasn't just trying to make, you know, big-headed children who think they're the greatest, but instead I just wanted to create a situation where my children knew who they were and that they felt secure in themselves, so that they weren't using their mind space worrying about who they were and about what was missing from their lives, but instead they were using that mind space to reach out and love on other people.
And that's why I selected that quote from Aristotle, because you educate their minds, you educate their hearts, and then you promote that in all your posts and what you offer to the public. And I just am so impressed with that. What do you hope to accomplish by what you write about? And by the way, I'm very impressed with your writing style. So, but what do you hope to accomplish?
Thank you. I do love writing. I really hope that other families of color, whether they're Black or not, that I found that we share a lot of the same issues in terms of raising whole children. I hope that they can look and find examples of how I've done it in my home that might give them things they want to copy, or just give them ideas for how they can do it differently in their homes. And then I hope that families, white families, can come to my website and get ideas for learning for their children and educating their children and their families and on issues that are important to all of us. And at the end of the day, what I'm really looking for is cross-racial kinship, I guess you would say, or brotherhood, sisterhood. And this is like one of the ways that I found that I can kind of do my little part, because it can feel overwhelming, but I know I can start in my own home and I can help other people start in theirs.
And you promote hope that there can be this cross-racial togetherness and love. So, and that's so evident in what you write about and what you post about. When you actually, on your website, you have heritage packs, multicultural lesson guides. So when you put together these packs for multicultural lessons, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Oh, well, what I'm looking is, I'm trying to make it easier for other parents and teachers, because it was so hard for me. I mean, I wasn't going to give up, because once I became aware of what my children needed, right? Like every mother, I'm not going to stop until I get that for them. But it was so hard. And I was wondering, why is it so hard to find quality literature or lesson plans that are kind of laid out for me, because we're all very busy. And so people come and say, you should teach your kids this, you should teach them that, you should teach them this, you should teach them that, but you're still just one person. You also have to cook and clean. And I like to keep my husband happy too, you know, to spend time with him. And so, you know, we can all only do so much. So I'm just doing my part. And I use lesson plans that other moms have put together for other subjects and topics. And I feel like if we're all contributing to doing our part, we can make our loads easier and lighter for every family. So I want to make it easy for families to integrate Black and Brown voices into their homes.
And who are these multicultural lesson guides for?
Well, they're for everyone. So when I first started thinking about them, I was thinking about other Black moms like myself who are using curriculum that's already been written and that usually doesn't reflect Black history or Black culture. But as I was developing them, a lot of my white friends were like, hey girl, what's up with me? I want to do that too.
Yes.
And that just made me so happy, because I thought, wow, like, wouldn't it be cool if all of our kids were all reading and learning the same things? And I realized that I had been thinking too narrowly and too small. My thinking was small. And so now I think the PACs are for everyone. They're for teachers who would like to use them in their classroom, but they're primarily for families who are going to educate their kids at home, either as homeschoolers or just as families. You know, even if I have a lot of people who buy them whose kids are in school, but they want to supplement. And these are fun ways of doing it.
Yes, that's just what I was going to comment on. It's a great way to supplement what the children are learning in school. And because you're in a really nice niche, it's great to come and look at what you have to offer on the websites and purchase whatever is needed or download, read your blogs and download any information. So it's great for supplementing, as you mentioned, if you don't homeschool. And it's wonderful for teachers, for educators. So there's just a wealth of information on your website. And one of the things I started to do was I started to read your blogs, and I love history. So I'm very impressed with the fact that you have written blogs about Black history. Tell us about why you did that and what periods of time you cover in your blogs. I know it's not, you just really started at something fairly recent in your blogs, but tell us about that.
So one of the things that I try to do is really sharing my lesson plans. So if I've already done all the work of buying all of these books with half of them not being good, and I've, you know, kind of flagged certain things that might be of concern to someone and looked through everything and planned it out for the year, then I'm thinking, why should I keep that to myself? And so our history, the way that we do history is we focus on a certain time period for the entire school year, really for a whole year because we school year round. So for 1 year, we just study the history of that time period and we go deep with it. So our field trips, we take vacations to see historical, you know, landmarks and sites related to that time period. We read books about that time period, nonfiction books, historical fiction, biographies. We cook food, you know, that they may have eaten then, and draw pictures of the clothing of that time. And we just, the whole family, all of the children across all of the grades are all studying that time period. Mm-hmm. So we all really get into it. And that's why I write the posts the way I do, focused on about a century or maybe a century and a half at a time. And with the idea that other families might want to give that type of history study a try. And we don't just focus on history. We read other books and we study art from that time period. We study music and poetry from that time period as well.
Mm-hmm. And then you, as you mentioned, you recommend books, which is really great. Books specifically for children. And how do you decide which books to recommend?
So I only recommend the ones I use with my family. Yes, so yes. That's pretty much, I mean, I buy a lot of books and it's, I try to get some from the library, but the library doesn't even carry a lot of what I'm looking for or what I need. And so I buy a lot of books and some of them are duds. And that's what I'm trying to prevent for other people. Also, I realize this is a passion of mine. Everyone has passion projects and this is my passion. So I'm willing to put in these like staying up all night and doing all this crazy stuff to get this done. But I don't expect everyone to have that same passion for Black history.
Yes.
And so I feel like if I take my passion and filter it down and funnel it and just hand you what just it's already done, that you can just run with it. And again, I'm getting that type of passion flow from other moms about from their areas of passion. So I know what I appreciate. And so I try to deliver that to my readers.
Do you also indicate what ages the books are for?
I usually do. And I always try to though give a caveat that everybody is so different. You know, every child is different. And I also am a strong believer of kids reading picture books forever. Like I still love picture books.
Yes.
They're so good. And so I have a child that's about to be in sixth grade and she voraciously reads through all of our picture books still. And so I do give recommended ages, but with the caveat that my children will always read picture books, that some novels and nonfiction books might not work for independent reading at a younger age, but I found that my younger children can still understand perfectly well if I read aloud to them. So there's a big range, you know, in terms of what's good, you know, what's a recommended age, but I do try to give some general direction.
Yes, that's wonderful. And it's very, very helpful for a parent or a teacher as well. And you write blogs. How frequently do you write blogs, by the way?
So it really just depends. It's so bad. I would love to have like this really even cadence, but I always remind myself when I start feeling upset that I'm not keeping an even cadence, that first and foremost, I'm a mom and a wife. And so that's actually from that is where my writing flows. So I have to fit it around my main job of taking care of my family. But, you know, there I post definitely every month. And usually multiple times a month. So it can be anywhere from like 2 to 4 posts. Sometimes it depends. I just did a really huge long post that took me weeks to write on Black history during the colonial period and yes. Revolutionary War period. So after something like that, I might take a couple weeks off, you know, just to catch my breath. But yeah, so I post regularly all year and I try to, you know, post things that are going to be useful to my audience and things that will be searchable on the website because people come for years to come and look for books that they're on certain topics.
Yes, it's so true. And I was going to mention how detailed some of your blog posts are. There's so much information in there that anyone reading it can spend quite a lot of time going through it and then using that information to teach their children. And one blog post that you did recently is titled Hallelujah, Book List Bible Stories with Images of Black People. Tell me, why did you write that?
Okay. So about 11 years ago, I lost my father. He passed from cancer. And before he passed, we took this really beautiful picture. Well, before he got really sick. So he still looked healthy. And it's the last picture of the two of us. And I don't have a digital copy. Someone gave me a hard copy years and years ago. And my little boy, when he was itty bit, he took the picture and he ripped it. And I have no idea why he did that. You know, he was being naughty, but he was little and he ripped it right down the middle. It separated me from my father. And I was really upset, like not mad. I was so hurt that this picture had gotten destroyed and the kids had seen me. You know, I was emotional about it. And then a good friend of mine, she doctored the picture up and recreated it. However, she did that online or whatever. And the kids were there when they saw her present me with this new repaired picture and how happy I was. And my daughter said, well, mommy, that's so nice because it's like, you're so lucky. You have like your own little angel in heaven. So we can ignore the theological, you know, maybe errors there or whatever, but it was a sweet thought. And my son said, well, Poppy can't be an angel because angels are white. And I was like, what? What did you just say?
Yeah.
I said, why would you say that? And he was like, well, they are every picture. I mean, he wasn't thinking he was saying anything big. He was just letting us know. Yeah.
Innocent little comment. Yeah.
Exactly. And that threw me off because I thought, how is that going to impact everything that he thinks of? If he thinks of the Lord's messengers and helpers and that we read about all the time in the word and that, you know, we may speak about and talk about and that are considered, you know, elevated in his mind. And he's thinking that it's only reserved, that God would reserve anything for only one race of people. I just couldn't accept it. And so I started thinking, you know, what role did I play in him thinking that way? And I felt like as I went through our Bible books, yeah, a child would think that. Why wouldn't he? Because every single picture of everyone in all the books, they were all white. And I was thinking, oh, these are just, to me, they're just illustrations. It doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't impact what I think. But to a child, visual, they're very visual. And that does feed into their narrative. And so I started thinking, okay, that's it. I'm definitely going to integrate in more Bible stories and picture Bibles and books and everything that show biblical characters and angels of all different hues. And so that's kind of where that post came from.
And that's so wonderful because it's this little child, innocent comment, innocent observation, but it's so profound. Yeah. And yes, and I'm sure many little children think about that and think about that the same way. So it really touched me when I read that and very timely to have that blog post. You've had a lot of experiences over the past years, and you've grown in teaching your children and learning about teaching them. What is an important focus of hope that you would give to a listener? And why? Why would you select that particular focus?
So I would say that the idea being that you don't have to be an expert or be excellent at something, because I feel like a lot of times that holds us back from doing what we can. And I have all of these people, you know, coming to my website, reading my posts, following me on social media, and we're having all these conversations about something that I am not an expert in. What I am is a passionate mother who saw a need in her own family and pursued it. I'm self-educated in this area. I mean, I went to school, but I'm not a history major, and I didn't know anything at all about any of this. Just a few years ago, I just stepped one foot in front of the other. And I always make a joke and tell people, they're like, well, this is so amazing. You know so much. I'm like, no. I am 72 hours into fifth grade, ahead of my fifth grader. So I do a lot of our reading and lesson planning at night, and I am three nights ahead of her. So that's, you know, I'm a fifth grader right now because that's my oldest child. So I think that there should be hope in the idea that you can start where you are on any path that you want at any time. You can go at the pace that works for you. Like, I can't do all the great things on my idea list because I don't have time. So I can just do what I can do, and I move at a snail's pace, but I'm making progress. As I look back over the years, I see how far I've come. So I think that is, to me, what gives me the most hope, and I hope other people as well.
And have you enjoyed the journey?
I love it. Like, this is, I had no idea. I mean, I feel like I was meant to do this.
Exactly. And I think so too.
It's so funny though, because this is not a dream of mine. It was nothing that I ever intended to do or even wanted to do. It kind of just fell into my lap, but I have enjoyed it because it's something that allows me to be myself. Like, I can just be myself, and it's something that helps people. It's like my one little area, you know, it's a specialty that really helps people. And I love that.
Do you take any type of formal writing classes in when you were in high school or even in college or since college?
No, I really wish that I had though. So that's like one of the, you know, educational downfalls. So I AP'd out of English for college. That's great at the time. But as I look back, it prevented me from having any college level writing feedback or discourse on literature or anything like that. And so I haven't, but I would like to. It's on my bucket list because I love to write.
Yes. A reader would never know that because, as I mentioned, particularly in my opinion, I think you have a really great, very clear writing style. And it's impressive to me. I'm a lawyer trained writer. So it's very impressive to me how well you communicate in writing and verbally too.
And thank you.
Yes. And I looked on your website and you've done a lot of interviews. And one of the interviews that very much impressed me was when you were talking about world schooling your children. I love to travel. I've been traveling my later years, but I wanted to find out from you, what does that really mean, world schooling? What have you done with your children?
Okay, so world schooling is basically homeschooling abroad. So because the kids are home educated, we can leave any time of the year and stay gone as long as we'd like. And so we have taken to, you know, trying to show our children the world. Our very first world schooling trip, we spent 3 months in Bolivia and South America and learning, you know, the language, studying the language and doing our lessons and whatnot, but also really getting to know the people and their culture. And then last year, we were in the midst of what was supposed to be a 3-month trip in Europe, touring different areas of Europe and things we had studied in school for the previous year. But good old COVID brought us down. So we got stuck there for a little bit, and then we had to make our way home. So we didn't get to finish the trip. But the idea for us is really showing our children that America is just one place. We love our country. It's great, but this is not the world. And that there are other people and that they have their own way of doing things. They have their own customs and cultures, and they have their own homes and fashions and everything. And that we aren't right. We're just who we are, and they're who they are, and that there are different interpretations of all of that. And I can tell my kids that, and I have. But what has really been effective for us is actually showing them. And so we don't actually have to tell them every single thing. I just take you. I'll take you there. And I don't do a lot of talking and over-teaching. The children pick up so much on their own during our travels, and they bring their conclusions to me. And, you know, we'll talk about it, but I don't have to say much. So it's just been a beautiful thing. And, you know, at the end, I always tell people it's fun. Like, that's another thing. It's deep and there's meaning behind it and it's intentional, but also it's something that my family likes to do for fun.
And you immerse your children in the culture. You learn all about their art, as you mentioned, their way of living, their music, their way of dressing. So the children are there and they're experiencing that all personally.
Definitely. And I mean, there's two parts to that. So there's the learning part and then there's the financial part. So we don't live in tourist areas. We're not staying in hotels while we're there. We get places like in a neighborhood where we don't have transportation either. We don't have a car when we're gone. So we have to be on public transportation and walking. So the market has to be there. And the goal is that we meet our neighbors and develop relationships. And we've even had one of the families we met in Bolivia has come and stayed in our home in Atlanta. So, I mean, we really are trying to develop relationships and get to know people. And it's less expensive if we're not doing the tourist thing. So we are trying to live to see what it would be like to actually live in a place for a period of time, not just visit or vacation. And we are digging deeply into the culture because also my kids are in school, right? So this is their school. And so they're learning through that. They're writing, they're keeping travel journals and things like that. So this is definitely part of their education.
Have you encountered racial tensions within the country itself? The peoples in the country, for example, if you're talking about Bolivia, there must be the indigenous people as well as the more highly, what they consider more highly sophisticated Spaniards from Spain. And have you encountered that?
Yes, definitely. And it's interesting because, you know, sometimes I can tell I'm like, something is not right here. But because I'm not from there, you know, it also gives me an idea. I've heard people come to America and they're like, what is going on here with black and white people? Like, this is so weird. And I'm like, you don't get it. Like, you don't know. But now I understand, because if you're not from a place, you can read about it, but you can't understand like the dynamics that are at play. So I saw strange things and heard things and even saw signs that said everyone is welcome to shop here, including, you know, it named a bunch of people. I'm like, you have to put a sign up that people that are from here can shop here. They're the indigenous people of this place. And I was like, why is there a sign that says they're welcome in their own home country? And so people are explaining this to me. But, you know, one thing that was interesting to the children and I is that for us, we are looking at people and we're getting the information that there's animosity between these two groups. There's friction. And yet I can't even always tell the difference just from looking. And I thought that was a very poignant thing to point out to my children and for them to notice how silly all of this really is. And it's just as silly in our own country as it is in other places, that no matter where you go in the world, people, groups of people are at odds. And doesn't matter whether they look similar or they eat the same foods or they do or don't. That's just the way that it is.
Yes. And as an African-American mother raising African-American children, both male and female, how do you promote? You've talked a bit about this already, but how do you promote cross-race relationships? And why do you think that's important?
I think it's important. I'm a Christian and I believe that God created us all in his image and that he doesn't show favoritism. And I think that it's a sin for us to do that and to each other. And so though I'm not perfect in any way, I just want to strive to do his will. And for me, I think that is for us to live together and for us to be kind to each other and not to judge or mistreat people. And I promote that for that reason. And I want that for my children. And I think it's something like we like to think it comes naturally, but I don't think it does. I think it has to be taught. So they need to hear me say it and they need to see it play out in our lives.
That's so true. And that's why I said I'm so impressed with you. You educate the mind, but you importantly educate the heart. And that is critical. So as we're coming to the end of the podcast, Amber, why don't you tell us, how can people learn more about you? Again, let us know your website and how they can purchase the items that you actually have available.
Yeah, so they can find me at heritagemom.com, and there are plenty of book lists there and blog posts and things to dig through. And there's a book recommendation page, and there's a shop there where they can get some of the lesson plans we talked about. And they can find me on Instagram at heritagemomblog and on Facebook at heritagemom.
Mm-hmm. And do you have items for sale, as you mentioned, on your website?
Yes, I do. I have lesson plans, and there are new things being added all the time. I have some new stuff coming up even in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Amber. It's been a pleasure learning all about you, what you have to offer, all the things that you write about. And I really appreciate you being a guest on our podcast.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining me on my show, Be Convinced, as we share with you life-changing stories of hope. Please visit my Facebook page, Be Convinced VI, and like and follow me. I post weekly about upcoming radio shows and podcasts. Please also visit my website at SorayaDiasiCofelt.com, where you will be able to read more about me and access my podcasts, which are all designed to give you a big dose of hope in just 30 minutes. Let's contemplate on what the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said. Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I can do, and use it for a greater purpose than myself.